You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This is January the 13th, 2022, and we continue to see some developing news in front of us, as you just heard, and we had reported before they came on the air with it, that there's a mixed ruling out of the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the executive orders by President Biden that involved, in part, that if you have a business with 100 or more employees, you either make sure they are vaccinated, they are masked at all times, and or they are tested on a routine basis, or they will be fined and you and your company will be fined. The Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to support that. So OSHA, who had the rule that supposedly was going to go into effect Monday, now cease and desist. That's part of the ruling. Now, progressives are already scolding the Supreme Court for possibly striking down the vaccine mandate, saying it is very wrong. The Supreme Court has to recognize that COVID in the workplace is a real health threat. What COVID are we talking about? Because, see, they continue to just kind of throw the word COVID out there, and it's supposed to be the deadliest of all. Well, that's not exactly true. The one we have now, we're told by the CDC itself, and even admitting by some of the other health officials, the dominant strain is Omicron. It will make you sick, maybe some sick, some a lot sick. If you have underlying health conditions, it could put you in the hospital. Not likely. But if you're older and have underlying health conditions and you're a child, it could. Especially if you haven't been vaccinated. But hell, no, you can be vaccinated and you can still get it and pass it. Now, the lawyers and the court justices did acknowledge the unprecedented nature of vaccine mandates. That was when they were hearing the oral arguments in the beginning. But the argument was a single federal agency tasked with standards cannot commandeer business economy wide across the nation into becoming de facto public health agencies. Sotomayor, of course, denies a Biden rule is a vaccine mandate. And yet that's what it says. It says that in the OSHA language. Can she read English? I don't know at this point. And in the meantime, the Justice Department now charging 11 defendants with seditious conspiracy related to the Capitol attack January 6, 2021. And that includes the member of the Oath Keepers, the leader, Stuart Rhodes. Now, Oath Keepers may sound like a religious group. It's identified as an American far-right anti-government militia that they claim they're defending the Constitution of the U.S. and encouraging members to disobey orders they believe would violate the U.S. Constitution. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Rushing into the Capitol was the wrong way to do it. But we kept saying nobody's been charged with insurrection. So I guess they decided we'll put some names up there and we'll start with these. Businesses seeing the price of goods they sell go up a record 9.7%. 9.7%. That's the fastest four-year increase in prices going back to 2010. And inflation continues to rise for you. Kamala Harris gives an interview to NBC this morning, and immediately there's knee-jerk reaction from the White House. We're going to get into that over this next hour, including the question, is she going to be part of a 2024 ticket? For that matter, is Biden going to be part of a 2024 ticket? And we're also going to get into the fact that with the Olympics getting ready to open in Beijing, they have more shutdowns in some areas around there. And for those who say these vaccines, the mask, everything, it shouldn't be bothering children that much in Germany. They're reporting three times as many children attempting suicide during the nation's second lockdown.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Whoa.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Democrats have objected to counting the presidential electors every single time this century a Republican's been elected president. They spent 4 years trying to overturn the 2016 election. Democrats spied on a presidential campaign. They did impeachment in secret based on a so-called whistleblower whose identity only Congressman Schiff got to know. This Congress, they have closed the Capitol, enacted proxy voting, kicked Republicans off committee, and for the first time in American history, denied Republicans seats on a select committee that was chosen by the minority leader. They're trying to make D.C. a state, end the Electoral College, end the filibuster, pack the court, destroy executive privilege, take federal control of elections, and are currently allowing in jurisdictions illegal immigrants to vote. And finally, the January 6th committee has altered evidence and lied to the American people about it. But somehow they tell us it's President Trump and Republicans who are undermining democracy? Give me a break.
Give me a break. I agree. Give me a break. Those are the words, angry words, obviously, and rightly so, of Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. He says we're not being allowed to interview members of nominated by this president for various positions. Senate, of course, has the confirmation, but House members are still interested, and they're making their complaints made known that you're not allowing U.S. senators to ask questions until they actually come into a hearing. See, normally you parade around your nominees and you encourage them to go to congressional members, not just the friendly ones, but the lukewarm ones, and those who actually don't know where they're going on your vote, and those who absolutely will probably hate you, but go around, answer some of their questions. Maybe you'll find some common ground. They won't be so rough and will rush your nomination right through. Well, they haven't been doing that. In addition to everything else you heard Jim Jordan referring to, they're deciding, no, we're going to run this time around. We're going to run this operation as a dictatorship. I'm going to send you the name, and they will appear because they have to at some point in front of a Senate committee to be judged by the senators, and either my nomination will be approved or rejected. But the House members, to hell with them. And in fact, to hell with a lot of the Republican senators who will probably vote against them anyway. They're talking about right now how one particular one has been blocked repeatedly from having any conversations with Senate Republicans. Now, Senate Republicans right now are all upset because there are two Tennessee GOP senators. They wanted to ask questions of Biden's nomination of a lawyer for Tennessee on a federal appellate court. One of those, of course, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. You're going to hear from her a little bit later. And her fellow senator is Bill Hagerty. They wanted to ask questions about Mathis. They expected that he would at least come to their offices if he's going to serve their state. No, he didn't do that. So when that happens, when they're not allowed to meet and consult with, and this happens for Democrat senators and Republican senators, when you're dealing with a nominee presented by even your own president of your party, you have a right to raise some questions and meet with them before you actually get to a hearing, because you may or may not be a member of that hearing committee, but you get to have some input. So what's the problem with this guy? It's not just the lack of communication and the so-called transparency we were promised. I make that a capital P, promised, by Joe Biden in this presidency. It's almost like he's dirty, he's tainted, we don't dare let him go out. Some of his past rulings, his past personal actions. Well, see here, I don't really care about keeping those silent, be you Republican or Democrat. I'll lay out some things on that in a moment. But before we do that, I want you to hear from Senator Ted Cruz. He is on a confirmation committee and, of course, a member of the U.S. Senate. And he's incensed as well. And he even actually apologized to the one who's been nominated, Andre Mathis, currently a Memphis lawyer at a law firm that Biden picked to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee. But he didn't bother go talking to the U.S. senators of that state. So Cruz is actually cutting him some slack and laying the blame at the feet of Joe Biden.
The Biden White House's conduct in putting forth your nomination and in disregarding the views of the senators from your home state has placed you in an almost impossible situation. That's not your fault, but it is President Biden's. And the White House, as far as we know, did not give consideration to that suggestion, did not give weight to that suggestion, but instead barreled ahead and said, we're going to pick the judge, and you pesky senators can go jump in a lake.
Just go jump in the lake. With or without your clothes, we don't care. Just go jump in the lake. Find the iciest lake and jump in there. Not going around and talking to the senators of the state where he's going to be serving as a federal appellate judge? Is he tainted? Does he, not just by some rulings and previous comments, maybe some other activities? These may not be enough to keep him from, he obviously hasn't lost a law license over it, But it may be enough to raise questions about him, aside from the fact that he's not being allowed to talk to them. Apparently, there was a letter dated January 7th, penned by Biden's nominee, Andre Mathis, to the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman, Dick Durbin, Illinois, Democrat, and ranking member Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa. And they, in turn, along with other members, confirmed the authenticity of the letter, said they had received it. Now, it's standard procedure. There's an FBI investigation of anyone nominated by the president for a position that needs Senate confirmation. It's just standard. You could be the sweetest, nicest person in the world, and the most you've ever done is accidentally knock a child's ice cream cone out of their hand, but you quickly bought them three more. You could be that kind of a nice person. Well, the FBI background investigation into nominee Andre Mathis revealed he had his driver's license suspended on three occasions. I don't mean one. I certainly don't mean two. I mean three. Driving-related citations. It's not clear at this point by anyone that has actually seen some information what the hell was he doing. Well, here's what he decided he wrote. And he said, he wanted to get out in front of it. I want to first let you know I'm cognizant that driving is a privilege, not a right. I take that privilege seriously. Though I've exceeded the speed limit a few times in the past, I strive to maintain a clean driving record and do not believe I've incurred a driving citation since 2014. Okay, he was caught speeding. How fast, how often, how many times? I mean, you're going to have to put me in that guilty column. I'm going to be in there too. But it's not my fault. I was born with a heavy right foot. And since our gas pedal is on the right side, it's not my fault. That's my claim all the time. But he confirmed that it is. He said, I do want to assure the committee I'm a law-abiding citizen. My driving record is not a reflection of my character or my fitness to serve as a judge. I recognize it's equally important for lawyers and judges to demonstrate respect for the law in all circumstances. And my driving record for the past 8 years demonstrates that. Mathis did write to Durbin, as I said, and Grassley, as part of the FBI investigation into his background, because he knew an inquiry had been submitted to the Tennessee Department of Motor Vehicles about a driving record. He said, I know I suspended on three times. One of them was in 2008. I really don't recall that. I don't recall a traffic violation in or around 2008 that would have given rise to a ticket and in turn a suspension for non-payment. Oh, there's another little problem. So I searched my records. I can't find mention of any driving infraction in or around 2008. That's possible. I'm a terrible bookkeeper. So I could allow that. I mean, so, yeah, I understand that. And then he goes on to the next one. Around 2010, suspended for a year, failure to answer or appear for violation in a state, also later suspended due to non-payment of an out-of-state traffic citation. But the point is, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee said, I have a right and I expect you to come around to my office if you're going to be serving in my state and at least have a conversation with me.
I was never counseled to not have a meeting with you. I was happy to meet with your counsel. in June.
Okay. I know that you were made aware of my desire to meet with you after you were nominated. Are you telling this committee that no one ever told you that I wanted to have the opportunity to meet with you?
Senator, I was not aware of a request to meet with you, but I would be happy to meet with you.
I know you were made aware, and I know for a fact that you were made aware of my concerns about your lack of experience, and that was well over a month ago. And I think it's of concern that you would have chosen not to reach out and close that loop.
Yeah. I know you were aware, and it concerns me you wouldn't reach out and do that yourself. Are we going to lead you around the Capitol to the restroom so you can find it? I mean, I don't know. How much help are you going to need once you get in here, if you are confirmed? Common courtesy. Should be, anyway. All right, let me remind you again, the Supreme Court today issuing mixed rulings on cases involving the Biden administration vaccine mandates. I'm going to spend some time on those in the next segment. Also, how many times the Biden administration is just constantly wrong. I'll let Congressman Jordan fill you in on that, and I'll fill in on the Supreme Court decisions. And then we move to VP Harris and an interview she gave today that might not be that good for her. And then let's go back to Hillary Clinton. Why, you ask?
Leaves are pretty until they start falling into your gutters. You really want to climb up a ladder, clean them out? That sounds like a project, a dangerous project. I have a motto. I don't do projects. You need K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Get a free estimate. Locally owned, KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
Larry Connors, USA.
Undermining democracy because we actually think you should show a photo ID when you go to vote? In one year's time, while Democrats are doing all that, in 1 year's time, they've given us record crime, record inflation, record illegal immigration. And as bad as all that is, it's not the worst. The worst is how they've used the virus to attack our freedoms, how they've used the virus to attack our First Amendment rights. And here's the irony. They use the virus to attack our liberties, even though everything they have told us about the virus has been wrong.
It's been wrong. They just keep telling us, we know what we're doing. Just follow us. We know what's right. We know what to do. We got everything right here. They don't have everything right. They don't know what to do. They are confused. Just simply admit that. I mean, a lot of people, most of us, were forgiving enough to the extent that, okay, I understand that you're not really sure. So if you're not really sure, then you shouldn't be imposing certain rules and regs, should you? And today, we got that ruling from the court. This is very interesting. It's a split ruling. Biden did not really get what he wanted, and those anti-vaxxers and who say that it shouldn't be a mandate, they didn't get exactly what they wanted. The Supreme Court blocked Biden's vaccine or testing requirement aimed at large businesses. This involves businesses with 100 or more employees. If you have less than 100, you weren't affected anyway. So it sent a clear message to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. You're overstepping your authority and issuing a sweeping emergency directive. Well, they didn't do it. Biden told them to do it. Would impact millions of workers. Now, in contrast, the justices said that a separate agency could issue a rule to protect the health and safety of Medicare and Medicaid patients, saying basically that, yeah, if you're involved, it's going to be, those involved in public health and so forth, that in that case, yeah, they probably should and will have to be vaccinated. Liberal Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, who doesn't know her facts anyway, saying 100,000 kids are in our hospitals right now with Omicron. That's a lie. And Liberal Justice Kagan issued blistering dissents, say, when we are wise, we know not to displace the judgment of experts acting within the sphere Congress marked out and under presidential control to deal with emergency conditions. Today, we are not wise. We're in the face of a still raging pandemic. It is raging. The Omicron is spreading. But we insist and tell you over and over again, there is only one confirmed, and that's suspicious, death due to Omicron. Because it was a man in his 50s, already vaccinated, had already had COVID, and had other conditions. And when they tell you the hospitals are staffed with everything, even the governor of New York, blue governor of New York, said a lot of those in the hospitals and the staffing issues and not having enough rooms, they're filled with patients that have Omicron only because they came in for, they sprained their ankle or they fell off their bicycle. And we test them and sure they have Omicron. And I mentioned to you earlier, I just want to point this out again, because what are we going to do now about these kids and the mask? Because we're told the mask's not that big of a deal, that they won't do any good. So now they're saying, well, then in that case, then maybe we need to change things considerably. We're going to get into that, because that's part of an issue coming up for VP Harris on how she thinks we're doing. But also how Biden is doing himself and trying to get election reform, all coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
At Interstate 44 in Hampton, you can find new business and opportunity where there had been nothing. That all changed when Jay Ackerman had a vision. He built the new Ackerman Toyota dealership on one corner. Now other businesses getting involved. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The struggle to protect voting rights has never been born by one group alone. We saw freedom riders of every race, leaders of every faith marching arm in arm. And yes, Democrats and Republicans in Congress of the United States and in the presidency. I did not live the struggles of Douglas, Tubman, King, Lewis, Goodman, Cheney, Swerner, countless others, known and unknown. I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old I was there as well. They think I'm kidding, man. Seems like yesterday, the first time I got arrested. Anyway. But their struggles here, they were the ones that opened my eyes as a high school student in the late 50s and early 60s. They got me more engaged in the work of my life.
I'm replaying that section of Joe Biden's speech the other day in Georgia for several reasons. One, to point out, once again, there he is lying. He was never arrested. Never arrested. And he'd made similar claims in the past, which proved false. In 2020, tried to walk back a false claim that he'd been arrested in South Africa while trying to see jailed leader, later President Nelson Mandela, never happened. Made dubious and somewhat retracted claims about that he did personally march in those civil rights demonstrations. And then, of course, on the January 6th riot anniversary, he emphasized the importance of truth in history. Truth. And he praised George Wallace in the past, and yet in that speech he went on to talk about, are we going to go the way of a George Wallace? No, he praised George Wallace several times. And he said he's going to do like Bull Connor. And by Bull Connor, of course, he's talking about the Birmingham Fire Department, Birmingham Police Department, all under Bull Connor as Commissioner of Public Safety, and ordered dogs sicked on the children into civil rights marches at that time and turning fire hoses on them. None of that is acceptable. But the evaluation of the speech itself. See, there's where we come to an evaluation. Because if he's down in Georgia, which, by the way, I will remind you, the leaders of the Black Votes Matter groups that are pushing and claiming that the Georgia law still is going to be disenfranchising blacks and minorities, they said, the leader of them, said, we're not going to bother to show up. We don't want to be in the crowd. We're not going to be used as props. Stacey Abrams was not there. She decided, I've got a scheduling conflict. And when Biden was asked about it, he said, we're all good. It just, things happen. You plan something out and then, you know, so you forget. We got our calendars mixed up. Do you really think you'd get your calendar mixed up with when the president's coming to town, that you go ahead and schedule what would have been? Now, I don't know, getting a nail appointment? What would have been so pressing that you would have been there? Because she does not want to be seen with him. He is a disaster for the Democrat Party. He is not helping black Americans, and in fact, he's making it tougher for them. Even Martin Luther King III and his wife, Andrea Waters King, acknowledged it was a difficult decision for them to attend Joe Biden's speech. He says it's been a long year of things not being done, and we're frustrated. And that's another reason you didn't see Stacey Abrams running for Georgia governor right now bother to show up. But hey, he did get support from his vice president.
President Biden took the, I believe, right and courageous step to say that Senate rules should not get in the way of protecting the American people's access to the ballot.
I would agree we don't want to do anything to take away people's right and access to the ballot. But that's not what that was about. That was just a fire and brimstone. And it's not just my opinion. That opinion got shared actually by none other than Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton said, I don't know what he's doing. I like my brother Joe, but, you know, that was not the right speech. I mean, if he's trying to encourage people to go out and march in support of better laws and so forth, that was the wrong thing to do. He said, that was a hell and brimstone type speech. You're going to go to hell if you don't do what we tell you to. So even though she will tell you, according to VP Harris, oh, I think it was done fine. I wonder what she really thinks. I wonder what she really thinks, only because she's part of this group now that is deciding what we're going to do about dealing with these folks who just won't get vaccinated. She did an interview just this morning with NBC, and said, we're doing things. We are doing things, despite even the anchor dared ask, said, well, we've been a year into this. We don't see anything being done. Oh, no, we're doing things. And we're going to get the people vaccinated. And, of course, the issue about the mask, where's the problem there? She said, well, that's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. When? It's going to happen soon. Well, today, Joe Biden came out and said, yeah, we're going to get out high-quality masks to Americans free in the coming week. Mark my day, this Thursday, January 13th, and come January 20th, you let me know if you got one of these free N95 masks. And then are we going to make children wear them at school? If the other masks are that ineffective, I take you back to what I told you in news and commentary today, in case you missed it. I'll remind you very quickly, if you miss any part of this program, or you want to share it with folks who need to hear it, it's available at Larry Connors USA Facebook and LarryConnorsUSA.com. It's all branded the same, not hard to find. Mark will have this program posted probably within the next couple hours after we go off, if not sooner. But in Germany, as three times as many children in Germany attempted suicide during the nation's second lockdown. That means something like 400 to 5,500 suicide attempts made by children and adolescents during Germany's second lockdown. We're not doing our children any good. But Harris wants to present the position. The administration knows what it's doing. And more importantly, we're going to stand forward. We're going to make sure we get election laws that are going to be beneficial, not restrictive. And she says that's our prime goal right now. And you know why? Because that's about all they got left at this point.
I will not absolve the 50 Republicans in the United States Senate from responsibility for upholding one of the most basic and important tenets of our democracy, which is free and fair elections and access to the ballot for all eligible voters.
What about Senator Manchin? What about Senator Sinema?
I don't think anyone should be absolved from the responsibility of preserving and protecting our democracy, especially when they took an oath to protect and defend our Constitution.
Why has the administration not been able to get Senate Democrats on board?
We are not giving up.
No, but the question was, why has it taken
this
long?
But you're acting as though it's over.
Well, I mean, you've
It's not over.
So it's going to happen by Monday.
I'm saying it's not over. And we don't give up.
And we don't give up. It's not over. And as we aired, I think, in the last hour, the question to her, is there going to be a Biden-Harris ticket? Well, we're not going to deal with that right now. We're focused on, I know you want to ask that question, but we're focused on taking care of the people right now with these masks and everything else and getting election fraud that would deny black and minorities a chance to vote. I ask again, bring me the law. Put it in front of me and say, this law means people of color or a different religion are not allowed to vote. Bring me that law. And I'll bring forward the New York law that is proposed that you can be illegally in this country and they will let you vote. And I'll also show you the law in New York City that you worry about voter ID as a reason. You try to go into a New York City restaurant, you're going to show your COVID vaccine passport and a picture to show it's your passport. And then let's go back in history when Hillary Clinton went into black dialect. Anything to win the vote, you know.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Train a coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
Do you remember that? There was Hillary Clinton. She was channeling her inner Southern accent, black accent in this case, while addressing some voters. This was when she was running for president in 2007 against Obama, a black man, obviously. And so she was reciting part of a hymn of Reverend James Cleveland, using that thick accent while speaking at a church in Selma. We're going to come back to that in a moment. So you're going to get to hear it again. If you have friends and family who haven't heard it, give them a quick text or call and make sure they're listening. We're going to put it back up. Keep in mind, Hillary Clinton was convinced she was going to be not elected. She was going to be coronated. It was her turn. She put up with Bill Clinton and his sexual escapades, and she was ready to run. And here came this young, tall, good-looking, black freshman senator from Illinois, and my God, the world fell apart on her, and she was angry. She's from Illinois. You do know that, right? And she was schooled in Massachusetts and Connecticut, then married Bill Clinton of Arkansas, and he's got a pretty strong accent, too. But it's nothing like what you hear from Hillary that time. And so there were times that she could switch into a pretty good Southern accent if she needed to, like if she were addressing a group in South Carolina. In fact, one reporter said she wants to win in South Carolina and then in many southern states holding primaries on Super Tuesday. Sanders is polling much worse. So he said we could hear her in a voice she did not learn during her childhood in Illinois and schooling in New England. And then, of course, the speech of Joe Biden yesterday. I told you that even Reverend Sharpton said that was a little too far in his rhetoric in pushing for voting rights. And our previous guest we've had numerous times has pointed out Hans von Spakovsky at Heritage said the Dems pushed the big lie of voter suppression to make it easier to cheat in the elections. And you heard Harris in the last hour say, I'm not going to absolve any senators from responsibility of upholding the voting rights and talking about upholding the Constitution. And yet you are serving next to a man who is destroying our Constitution and not upholding his oath of office to protect this country from enemies within and without, because we have an open border. Ellen Mastille is a CNN analyst, black man. And he said white male Republicans in southern states act like they own black people. Now, he's talking about white men, Republicans. I'd really like to get his take. And I don't know if he made a response at that time. But again, we're talking about back in 2007 at a church in Selma, Alabama, where Hillary Clinton, reciting a hymn by Reverend James Cleveland, with her interpretation.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
Do you think he might say that white women Democrats also think black people are not really so good? I don't know. See, I don't want to put words in the man's mouth, but I will tell you this. When he says white male Republicans in southern states act like they own black people, he's entitled to that opinion. We are America. Riddle me this then. Black males and females in southern or any other states that decide to vote against the Democrat Party and say, we don't need to be led around by black masters either telling us how to think. Can they then be said that they are being mastered by black people as well because they're being told you must think this way? If not, you're an Uncle Tom. We need to bring the nation together. So remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.